Reading from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We're in the first division, second chapter, discussing the offenses. There's a list of offenses given here from Padma Puran, which we are quite well aware of. But they're listed here. Criticism of devotees, considering names of Shiva and others independent of Vishnu, disrespect of the Guru, thinking of the glories of the holy name as exaggeration, giving some other meaning to the name, committing sins on the strength of the name, considering the name as equivalent of other auspicious actions, teaching the name to the faithless, having no attraction to the name, though hearing its glories. All of these offenses with scriptural references should be examined in Hari Bhakti Vilas. And this is text 121. Tanindad yasa hishnuta yata sri dashame. This is saying, this is, as I mentioned, Rupa Goswami is reiterating the 64 limbs of devotion. Now he's mentioning number 20, which is, it says here, unbearability of ill talks about the Godhead, or not tolerating criticism of the Lord or his devotee. One is 1969 English, and the other is 2007 English. So not tolerating criticism of the Lord or his devotee, this is a devotional principle, and the reference given is 10th Canto Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 74, verse 40. Nindam Bhagavata Srinvans Tat Parasya Janasya Va Tato na paiti yasopi yat yada sukritach chita. Anyone who fails to leave that place immediately where he hears criticism of the Supreme Lord or his faithful devotee will certainly fall down, bereft of his pious credit. So this is a very strong injunction, devotional injunction, Bhakti Yanga, to immediately leave when someone speaks calumny or blaspheming of the devotee or the Lord. And to be a devotee, to be a Krishna Bhakta, one must be actually very, very, very strict. They say sometimes the path of devotion is like a razor's edge. It's very sharp. And when you're shaving with a sharp razor, you can shave very quickly and effectively if you're attentive. If you're inattentive, then you can cut yourself severely. So Bhakti Marg is a very fast and effective way to Godhead, to realize the Supreme Absolute Truth. But one must be very careful, because there's also many pitfalls. And the biggest obstacle and hurdle that one faces in attaining perfection and devotion is aparad, especially offending the Lord and his devotees. Because devotion is all about appreciation, love, and service. And aparad is all about insult, and envy and hatred. Generally, in Kali Yuga, as we see the present age, people are not very formal. People are very informal in names and social dealings, family dealings. In the old days, there was so much formality in Indian families. The son and daughter would come down in the morning. As soon as they would see the father or mother, they would offer obeisances on the ground, then touch their feet and stand with folded hands. And now it's, hi mom, hi pop. Hi pop, hi mom. Hi dad. Very informal. And because of that informality, there's such informality in social dealings, there's also, it indicates a certain type of laziness. A certain type of laziness in the mind, and laziness in the intelligence, which is, of course, described by the ancient seers of the truth, the Trikalagya sadhus, like Vyasadeva, they could see that Kali is coming. Mandya samanda matyo mandya abhagyu padrata. People will be unfortunate, abhagya, short-lived, ayush. Their lives will be very short, and they will be beleaguered by so many problems and difficulties, anxieties, so many neuroses, this neuroses and that psychosis, all kinds of osis. There's many osis in this Kali Yuga. Psychosis, neurosis. And especially people will be very disturbed and very lazy. Manda sumanda matyo. Very, very lazy. People are so lazy, they can't even get out of bed. Even though they're well rested, they've rested for 6, 7, 8, 10 hours. All right, the sun is rising, the day has begun, it's time to engage in one's duty or work. Oh, I'm so tired. How are you so tired? You slept 10 hours. The battery is charged. You're ready now for action. But the mind, the body is fine, but the mind is so lazy. And the mind controls the body. So what happens is, when we hear an instruction like this, where our guardian of devotion, the great guardian of devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, is advising us, out of his compassion and mercy, do like this. The yamas and niyamas, these are the do's. Please be careful about this aparad, about this ninda, sadhu ninda. The word is there in this verse, or in his phrase, tan nindadi yasa hishnuta yata. He says that ninda, offenses to the Lord and his devotees. And he says, you should do what I'm telling you to do. But we're lazy. We get so many instructions from so many well-wishers. Our parents, our teachers, our seniors, they give us very good instructions. You should do like this. You should drink, when you wake up every morning, you should clean your mouth and then drink some warm water. It's very good for your health. So we hear the instruction, but we're lazy, so we don't do it. We do it for one day, and then, oh, it's so much trouble to get a glass and heat some water, and it's really very, very, very difficult. Very difficult to drink warm water throughout the winter. I forget this. So then, okay, suffer. So we suffer because of our laziness. Laziness means ignorance. So suffering is caused by ignorance. And the manifestation of ignorance is laziness. And what is Kali Yuga known as? The age of ignorance. The age of darkness. So we're very dark and dastardly characters, overcome by ignorance. They're so lazy, as we say, they have phrases in English, quit before you try. People quit before they try. They don't even try. Even the idea of trying makes them tired. They become tired with the thought of doing something. Oh, you should do this. Oh, that makes me tired. That's a fact. We laugh because we're a little bit passionate and a little bit sattvic by some good fortune. But the masses of people, the majority of people, are so much inertia. Procrastination, inertia, laziness. These are written in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who studied Bhagavad Gita has seen. What are the symptoms of tamagun? Procrastination. And they have phrases. They make it sound attractive. Don't do today what you can do tomorrow. Or don't do today what you know. Well, don't do anything. Just be. Just be. Be whatever you can. Or whatever. Just be, but don't be anything and don't do anything. Just be. So when we as devotees, we hear this, that Rupa Goswami is telling us, if you hear blaspheming of a devotee or the Lord, run away. Close your ears and run from that spot. Do the 50-yard dash, 100-yard dash. Can anyone do it? No. Does anyone do it? No. Why? Because laziness and mushy brains and sentimentalism. Sentimentalism is also a type of ignorance. One's based on a bodily concept. Sentiments based on God, of course, are transcendental. But sentiments based on the body are ignorance. That's another manifestation of ignorance. Oh, what will he say if I run away? What will she say if I run away? She'll think I'm crazy. Or she won't like me. Or she won't talk to me again. Or they'll say, oh, you're weird. He's weird. All he did was blaspheme his guru and he ran away. All I did was cut his guru to pieces and then he ran away. And he didn't want to even look at my face again. What kind of strange person is he? Why isn't he normal like everybody else and just stand there and listen to it and drink it all in with open ears and even throw in a few words himself? So what we consider normal in Kali Yuga is most abnormal. Because this atheistic temperament is all-pervading. This faithless, atheism means faithless. This faithless atmosphere is lingering everywhere. So when one arises or one develops some faith in Krishna or Guru, he should be prepared for a war against Maya. Maya means faithlessness. Atheism, Maya. Envy. This is the war. The war is against faithlessness. The war is against envy. So we're surrounded by faithless, envious people, some wearing tilak, kantimala, dhoti. They're actually faithless. At best, they have shraddha abhas. They have a semblance of faith, but it's soft, it's komala, it's weak. One minute they're faithful, they're a good guy, next minute they're Hiranyakashipu. Unpredictable, changeable. So we should be very serious about our practices of bhakti, because we will meet such people all the time in the temple. I would never expect I would go to the temple and meet such vilifiers. The vilifiers are right in the temple, in the Vishnu temple. It seems that the outside people are less offensive than the inside people. And we're the insiders. Well, often they say that. The usual crimes are usually committed by the insiders. This is the phrase. Like you have, and so there's some robbery in your house. Well, usually it's the maid. It's the maid or the son or the wife or someone. The insiders do the crime. The butler did it. Right, they had these in the old days in the movies. The butler did it. The butler poisoned the master. So it's the insiders, the actual insiders, who are the ones that are dangerous. They look just like the devotees, but they're actually Kali's agents. Bhaktivinoda is saying that 150 years ago. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that 150 years ago, Kali Chela. Have you ever heard this term, Kali Chela? Chela is Bengali for Shishya, disciple. Shishya, Kali Chela, disciples of Kali. Which, a disciple of Kali means an agent of the opposition, the anti-party. Because war means there's the favorable party and the anti-party. There's the allies and the enemies, whatever. So a Kali Chela is an agent of the enemy. And he may look, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said 150 years ago, what to speak of now, Kali Chela. How do you identify a Kali Chela? He wears tilak, shaved head, dhoti, kanti mala, and his name is Krishna Das. He's taken initiation. But he's the anti-party because he's an agent of faithlessness. He's an agent of envy. And he's an agent of fault-finding. So he's anti-party. He should be blown up. First, we don't blow them up, but we terminate our relationship with them. Relationship terminated. Your contract has been terminated. But this takes guts. This takes discrimination. This takes intelligence, which is lacking in a Kali Yuga. So we say, he's okay. So he offended a few gurus. Basically, he's a nice guy. I mean, he hasn't offended my guru yet. I haven't given him a chance. I haven't told him to name my guru. Maybe that's why in the ancient scriptures it says one should not reveal the name of his guru. Because then the person can't make an aparad. Because if you tell the name, then it's, him! Well, who is your guru? So-and-so. Oh, then, so, Someone said, what is the name of your guru? So, I'm sorry, I can't tell. I have many friends in Delhi. I met them, and I say, and they're just like they're Hindus or whatever. I said, you've been coming many years to ISKCON. Do you have a guru yourself? She said, yes, I'm initiated. I said, where? In Vrindavan? Yes, I have one guru in Rishikesh or in Vrindavan. I said, are they Gaudiyas? No, they're not Gaudiyas. And I said, what is their name? No, I can't tell. And they don't tell. Because it's a tradition, and moreover, the guru may say like that and teach like that. And of course, in our Gaudiya tradition, it is permissible to say the name of the guru. But of course, then again, Naam is to be considered who you, as the Bible said, don't cast pearls before swine. Interesting word, swine. It's a German word, swine. But it sounds almost like Hindi. Hindi is sewer. Sewer? Sewer means pig. Sewer, swa. Sewer, swine. See how much similarity in German. The German word for pig is swine. Sewer, swine. Very similar. Because Sanskrit is the basis of all language. the root source of all language, or Bhashya, is Sanskrit, Devanagari. So the Bible is telling, don't cast your pearls before a swine. So it's the ninth offense to the holy name is to speak the glories of the holy name to the faithless. So it's also an offense to speak the glories of the guru to the faithless. Therefore, one should not mention the name of the guru to the faithless. And follow. As if someone mentions the glories of the holy name or Krishna's name to the faithless, and that person will make offense to Krishna and his holy name. So if you mention the name or the glories of the guru to a faithless Kali Chela, he will also make offense. Therefore, maybe it's a good idea not to say. Well, who is your guru? I keep secret. And that way you actually reduce the atmosphere of it. You reduce the concentration of offenses in the atmosphere because you don't give the person opportunity. But if you perceive that the person is actually a faithful person, he's actually a devotee who has the qualities of a devotee, tolerance and peacefulness and appreciation of others, then you may say, yes, he's asking, what is the name of your guru? Who is your guru? And your guru, my guru is so-and-so. And you say the name, fold your hands. When one repeats the name of the guru, they fold their hands and bow their head. They say, I'm a disciple of Om Vishnupad, Sri Srimad, Krishnadas, Swami Maharaj, or whoever, whatever Maharaj. This is the proper etiquette. Because when disciple remembers his guru, he thinks, my head, my head is under the feet of my guru. My head is there. Sri Guru Charane Rati Ese Uttamagati. My attachment is there. My Rati. Sri Guru Charane Rati. Rati means attachment. It also means bhav. Rati means attachment or bhav. Love. My love is for the feet of my guru. I'm attached to the feet of my guru. The feet of my guru means the shiksha, the teachings of my guru, the order of my guru. Sri Guru Charan. Sri Guru Charana Rati, the order of the Guru. So when I repeat the name of my Guru, then I think of my Guru, then naturally my head bows down. Naturally. My head bows down, yes, my Guru. I'm so fallen, I'm so degraded, I'm so wretched, I'm so unfortunate. My life was so useless, meaningless, no direction, no purpose, so hopeless, so anxious. Of this great guardian, this great well-wisher, my affectionate friend and teacher and guide, he has come to pick me up. So then my head goes down when I remember him. And I'm thinking, yes, his feet are on my head. His order is on my head. Krishna within and Guru above. This is the idea, the constant outlook. The constant outlook of the disciple. Krishna within. My Ishtadeva is in my heart, as Hanuman kept Sita and Ram within his heart. Krishna within and my Guru above my head. Guru is sitting on my head. Like sometimes we carry tulsi on our head. We take tulsi and carry on our head and do prikrama. Or we carry the Bhagavatam on our head. You see when these Bhagavat reciters come and give their sapta, when they first come, then they come in procession with the Bhagavatam or the Ramayana or whatever book they're speaking on. And they carry on their head wrapped up in red cloth. And they carry like this. And so many, in front of them be so many virgin girls dressed in saris and auspicious markings carrying water pots. 12 virgin girls will first lead the way, and then the speaker of the Bhagavatam, Murari Bapu or Ramayana or whatever, he walks behind them, and so many Brahmins. And so they're showing all regard to Shastra and Tulsi, devotee. And so in the same way we can think, yes, Guru is on my head. Like Tulsi on my head, Bhagavatam on my head, Guru on my head, his feet are on my head. And what are Guru's feet telling me? Guru's feet are telling me, run away from offenders. Don't look at offenders. Terminate your relationship with offenders. To maintain relationship with offenders means to lock yourself in a tiger cage. Lock yourself in a cage full of tigers. They will simply devour you, destroy you, kill you. Which means the offender, or the aparadi, or the blasphemer, the Kali Chela, will destroy your devotion. Because devotion is based on Shraddha, faith. When faith is dismantled, everything crumbles. Everything breaks apart. Faith is our capital. Faith is investment capital. We can make profit with faith. But if faith is taken away, then we become bankrupt. No profit. All loss. To lose faith means to lose everything. Because Krishna comes on the strength of faith. Strong faith, strong appearance of Krishna. Weak faith, weak appearance of Krishna. So we hear these instructions, and we have actually seen in our life one person like this. We had the fortune of personally associating with a great liberated soul of ISKCON, Sriman Jayananda Prabhu. Prabhupada said he went to Vaikuntha, went to the spiritual world. Prabhupada was very proud to have such a disciple. And he exhibited this behavior that we're reading about here. One who doesn't, immediately if someone would blaspheme the Lord or devotee, he would disappear. But he wouldn't run away in a flurry of passion. Ah, I'm leaving. Ah, what is this? Ah, what are these socks? I'm leaving. Ah, what are you saying? He simply just disappeared. No comment. Now you see him. Now you see him. Now you don't. A few times I remember standing with some devotees, and unfortunately, as it does happen, someone would be saying something bad about some sannyasi or devotee or whatever. It happens in institutions especially. And then someone would turn and say, what is your opinion? And then we say, well, what is Jayananda? And you turn to see Jayananda, and he was just standing next to you, and all of a sudden, oh, he's gone. Because somehow he could feel the temperature rising. And when he was there amongst the devotees, God brothers, he could feel, oh, the temperature's rising here. I think they're going to become offensive. Let me slide out of here. Let me disappear, lickety split. Very fast, jolly jolly, tari tari, fatafat. Let me leave here before it gets offensive. In other words, you're about to step out of your car and you look down the sidewalk and you see a bunch of thugs coming with knives and baseball bats, then you'll say, well, maybe I don't go on this street today. And you hop back in your car and you ride the other way because you anticipate some disaster. So in the same way, he had some type of special aparad meter, inborn aparad meter. And he can measure that, it's the climate control factor. He can understand the climate is becoming unfavorable here. It's time to move on to safer waters. It's time to shove off and sail on to more peaceful harbor and find better association. These guys have become a little demented and degraded. So before they go off the wall, let me jump. So that's what he would do. And he was expert at it. And even his leaving did not offend anyone. He didn't offend anyone in his leaving. He just disappeared. So somehow or other, if we as aspiring devotees can master the art of magic, jadu, we can master the art, jadukala. If we can master the art of magic and learn the science of disappearing, they call it the disappearing act. Houdini's disappearing act. So every bhakta, every Krishna bhakta should be expert at disappearing. Become invisible at will. Whenever the association is turning, when the sweet becomes sour, it's time to change the plate. It's time to move on. So, and if we don't, then we suffer disastrous results. And this is a very serious point of devotion, number 20. Not tolerating criticism of the Lord or his devotee. And then how do we show our intolerance? How do we express our intolerance to offenses? How do we actually express that? We express our intolerance to offenses by the magic disappearing act. We disappear. Non-cooperation movement. Our Gandhi started such a movement. Non-cooperation movement. So we should also start non-cooperation movement. Don't cooperate with offenders. Don't participate. Non-participation movement. NPM. Sounds not good. That's a good one. NPM. Join the NPM. Non-participation movement. Don't participate in offenses. Don't speak them, don't listen to them, don't propagate them. And if they come your way, then run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. Literally, run. Can you imagine? You're sitting with a group of devotees and having some Sunday feast, and someone says, we have some sweet rice here. Would you like some sweet rice? Yes, yes, I'll take some sweet rice. Oh, would you like some samosa? Yeah, take some. Yes, I'll take samosa. Of course, we shouldn't talk about these subjects. I find almost invariably, I don't know how it works. Maybe part of my mind is absorbed over there. But on Ekadasi, the topic of food always comes up because we're always doing nirjal, and we're always, of course, that means no eating or drinking. And some or other in the course of my lectures, I guess it's called a Freudian slip. Freudian slip means that I'm revealing that what I'm really all about. I'm really just a big bogey, and I just spend all day. If it wasn't Ekadasi, I'd just be eating samosas and rasgullas all day. So then this natural nature comes out. You can't hide the true person. So really, I have a whole stash of samosas under my pillow, and I'm just waiting till tomorrow to indulge and gorge myself in all these tasty delights. But So what was I saying about? Oh yeah. So you're sitting there. And they're offering you some nice preparations, and you're appreciating, and you're relishing. And then the person says, yes, I have some really nice nectar drink here. You see, it's in this clear pitcher. It's clear, a glass pitcher, a jug, you say in India, jug. Glass jug. Pitcher. And it's really nice. Oh, what kind of juice is that? Special juice, but it's clear, it looks like water. No, it's special, we call it cyanide nectar. Cyanide nectar. It's very good, cyanide. You have your glass, yes, take. Oh, but there's no color. Oh, no. Well, it doesn't have a smell. Oh, no, it tasted. It's very good. Drink deeply. Mmm. If you drink a glass of cyanide, it's extremely poisonous. You'll be finished. Katha Mahogya, Haribo. Over and out. So if someone serves you poison, obviously you would run. Would you like some cyanide nectar? No, thanks. What are you, crazy? And you run from there. You wouldn't take it. But we willfully, happily, excitedly remain in the association of aparadis and offenders. We're collected together in a group of lady devotees or men devotees, and one devotee starts serving out cyanide, and we say, oh, that's very good. Oh, that's really good. Can you give me another glass? Hmm. Oh, tell me more. Acha? Oh, ha, he. And what happens? The bhakti lata, just like some creeper when you don't give any, some plant, if you don't give any water and it's hot summer, it just goes, becomes limp and wilted, crumbled, and then falls down, dies. So this is what happens to bhakti. Even externally, you look, oh, look at me, I'm a devotee. But internally, there's nothing. It's a vacuum, empty. Bhakti is left. You're walking around like a shell, like a robot, lifeless. So this is a very stern warning of Rupa Goswami. He said, one should not tolerate offenses against a devotee or the Lord. And how do we express our intolerance? By leaving the place. Physically, mentally, emotionally, heartily leaving, and leaving all association with such offenders. Once and for all. We may give the person a second chance, we meet them again, and if they rectify themselves and say, really, I saw you left rather abruptly the last time we were meeting. I think I must have offended you by what I said. I spoke about your guru. Please forgive me. And it actually pinched my heart when you left. Because another thing I will tell you, that although, as we said in the onset, we're lazy, we're weak, we're reluctant to behave like this for all kinds of sentimental and mushy reasons, we're reluctant to act in such a brash or harsh way. We think this is rather crass to just walk away from someone just because he offended my guru or offended some other guru, ISKCON, Gaudiya Math, whatever, Babaji, etc. And why should you run away? Why should you be so passionate and run from there? But the point is that what happens when one follows Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami, his teachings, when he follows and he gets the blessings, the hand of Rupa Goswami comes on our head. The benign blessings, the comforting hand of Rupa Goswami rests upon our head. And we feel the good vibrations. We feel the loving blessings coming from his hand. And our bhakti thrives and grows and flourishes with such mercy. Guru Kripa, Mahant Kripa, Rupa Goswami Kripa. And when we follow this instruction and we actually physically run away and leave that place, that by that expression of your intolerance of that person's aparad or blasphemy or offense, by that expression, and it can be done silently and coolly, and as I mentioned, an example of Jayananda would just disappear. When you express your intolerance like that, it will register something on the person's brain. He left. Oh, why did she leave? Why did he leave? Because every effect has a cause. There's no effect without a cause. There's no action. Everything has a cause. Why did my friend leave? Why did my girlfriend leave? Or my god sister, god brother? They suddenly left. Oh, did they get a cell phone call? Did they have to attend a cell phone call, a mobile phone call? Did they have to go to the bathroom? Because it's India and they have the squirts? Or whatever. And diarrhea? Or whatever. And then he may think, oh, maybe I said something wrong. Actually, I said many things wrong. I said all horrible, poisonous things came from my mouth. Cyanide, snake-like venom ushered from my mouth. And it must have hurt her ears. It must have hurt his ears. So therefore they left me. So I should think about myself, about my speech, about my thinking. So this is also good because it benefits the offender also. It benefits us to leave, primarily. And it behooves us to leave immediately. But it also benefits the offender if he has a touch of devotion. If he has a touch of devotion, then he'll become conscious of his misdeed or his mistake. Someone might say, well, you're spending a lot of time on one of the 64 limbs of devotion. I'm spending a lot of time? What about the acharyas? What about the scriptures? There are entire chapters of the Bhagavatam, and entire chapters and many, many chapters of the Shastra, all about aparad, all about offenses. Ramchandra Puri, and this one, that one. So this is very big, big obstacle to pure devotion. Because it, as I mentioned, it's really the basic operating principle, the basic causal principle of aparad is a lack of love. It's a lack of love in the heart. So that's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing to be on the path of love and not have any. So but there's prospect for us. There's good prospect that by being on the path of love, surrounded by loving devotees, following the teachings of the loving devotees that are left behind us, that we may attain to that pinnacle of perfection, which is prayojan or prema, prema prayojan. So that's the prospect. That's the good prospect. That's the positive prospect. The hope, ashabanda. So when we hear offenses, we should feel, oh, this poor person, there's no love there. But may I pray to Krishna, Krishna, please bless him that some love comes in his heart. I leave as fast as possible, and take note not to meet that person again. I don't need that person. I don't need envy. I need love. I don't need criticism. I need praise. I don't need derogatory marks. I need appreciation. I don't want hatred. I want love. What do you want? What does the soul want? Does the soul want hatred, envy? You want those things? And that's aparad. Is that aparads and offenses? Are expressions of hatred and envy, the antithesis of prema and love. So this is the path of prema. So matsari and prema are opposites. One is a nadir, one is a zenith. The topmost point is a prema, and the lowest point is this matsarya, envy. So that much we make offenses or we relish offenses indicates how much envy and lack of love there is in us. Because if there's love within us, if there is some love or bhakti, I say love, okay, bhakti, I'm speaking English. If there's some bhakti or love within us, then we can't tolerate hatred. When hatred comes to our ears in the form of aparad, it pinches us, it pinches our heart, and we have to run. If someone pinches you, you want to run away. If someone comes up, starts, hey, if someone starts pinching you or sticking your butt with a pin, you say, hey, what are you doing? You'll start running, no? No, oh yeah, you'll just stand there. Ow, ow, ooh. Avoid, self-preservation is the first law of nature. Living entities try to avoid pain, not gain pain. So if someone has a touch of bhakti or love in their heart, they automatically can't tolerate expressions of hatred, expressions of envy and hatred. And that's what aparad and criticism is all about. Although it's couched in very mild language, and people, the offender will say, well, listen, I said so many good things about your guru. Here's the progression. Here's the krama, the sequence. It goes like this. Oh, who is your spiritual master? My spiritual master is Y Swami. X Swami. Oh, he's very nice, Swami. He's this, he's that, he's very nice. Then what's the special word? But, B-U-T. In Hindi they say Lekin. Lekin? Lekin. Lekin. But, and then here comes the Kaliya avatar. Here comes the Kaliya, Kaliya avatar, the snake incarnation, Kaliya. All the poison comes spitting out in royal fashion like an AK-47 or a Uzi. That's better. Uzi, Israeli machine gun. Oh, your guru is very good. He sings wonderful kirtan. And he's such an enthusiastic preacher. He's preaching all over Germany, all over Europe. He's so attractive and charismatic. But, blah, 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 blah. And then you sit there. Like a sponge soaking up the poison. And it destroys you. Rupa Goswami is our well-wisher, original well-wisher. He's taking the good wishes from the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's distributing to all of us. And all the Rupanuga Vaishnavas coming in the line of Rupa Goswami, they are our well-wishers. And one who wishes well for our soul, he's eternal. He's an eternal well-wisher. So therefore, Prabhupada, coming in the line of well-wishers, he would sign his letters, your eternal well-wisher. So this, he's only giving these instructions for our good, for our betterment, for our health and happiness. And we should try our best to follow them. So that will be the last class for Nectar Devotion till next year. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Nectar Devotion, we've already given class in them, but this is verse by verse, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We finish with text 121. Oh, it's very interesting. The next, in light of what we're saying, I didn't even notice, very interesting, that it's actually part of this, I should finish this, because this number 20, the 20th limb, number 20 of the 64 limbs of devotion is to not tolerate criticism of the Lord and his devotees. And Rupa Goswami cites a verse from Bhagavatam that we should immediately leave that area. And if you don't, then you fall down. That's from 10th Canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 74, verse 40. Then another supporting verse, which is given to explain this 20th principle, which is to not tolerate criticism of the Lord, is a verse from the it's from Padma Puran. It says, to put on the outward signs of a Vaishnava. Of course, this is a positive thing. We should. This is one of the devotional principles. There's do's and don'ts in these 64 principles. So that the one we heard today was don't. Don't tolerate offenses. Leave the place. And the next one is yes, but do put on the outward signs of Vaishnava. Do put on tilak, which is the outward sign of Vaishnava, but be a Vaishnava. Don't be a Kali Chela, which is what we were mentioning. Yes, I have. I followed this 21st. This is the 21st. Actually, this is the 21st principle. It says Vaishnava chinadriti. That's very interesting. Vaishnav China Dritti. It says China means mark, and Vaishnav means mark of Vaishnav. Dritti means very firm, very, very deeply thick tilak, or always have tilak, to put on the outward signs of Vaishnava. Here it says, wearing the marks of a Vaishnava. It is said in Padma Puran that those who have Tulsi garland, or the garland, I didn't read the verse actually, the supporting verses, Yekanta Lagna Tulsi, Nali Nakshamala, Ibahu Mula Parich Nita Shanka Chakra, Ivalata Palake Lasad Urdva Pundras, Te Vaishnava Bhuvanam Ashu Pavitrayanti. In the translation here, text 122, this is the 21st limb of devotion. Those Vaishnavas who have Tulsi beads, lotus seed beads and japa beads around their necks, who have their shoulders marked with the signs of Kanchan Chakra, and who have tilak on their foreheads, quickly purify the earth. So here, this is a quote from Padma Puran. And you hear, and this, you must have heard in this verse, it says that Vaishnavas, of course, chant on tulsi bees, and it mentions lotus seeds. And they can wear them around the neck. And then they have the marks on their shoulder. They have the chakra, Vishnu chakra, and Vishnu kanch, or shank. Vishnu shank and chakra. These, in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, these marks would be put, permanent marks, not wash away tilak. Now I'm Vaishnava. Now I'm going to China for business, and I wash off the tilak and do my business. These marks are permanent. So this is from Padma Puran, which is writing about the Vaishnavas, because Gaudiya Vaishnavas are something quite new within the last 500 years. So for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Urdhva Pandra, this is described in the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Urdhva Pandra, this upcurving line, the vertical tilak, this is the mark of Vaishnava, plus marking the names of the Lord on the body. For the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the branding, the embossing or branding of the arms with the Vishnu Chakra and Vishnu Padma has been replaced in Gaudiya Vaishnavism by less severe practice. Because in days of old, knights were bold. But people aren't so bold nowadays. No one could bear the pain. So now, knowing all that, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, this branding has been replaced by writing the names of Vishnu on the body. You write on your chest, Jai Shri Radhe, Radhe, Jai Gaur, Jai Nitai, which you'll see many of the Gaudiyas do, with Tilak, Radhakund Tilak, or Gopichand Tilak. Or, instead of that, they have some stamp, some wooden stamp. It says, Krishna, Radhe, Radhe Sham, and you can put on your forehead with Tilak. So it's very merciful. Lord Chaitanya's Namo Mahavadanyahya Krishna Prema Vardayate. We can easily observe this devotional principle, the 21st principle of devotion, of marking our bodies with Vaishnav Chin and Dhriti without burning our arms. Because ordinarily it would take a piece of brass, heat it in fire, and it's a particular kind of fire also, a certain kind of wood, and then it would hold on your arm, and burn into your skin the Vishnu Chakra. Heavy, heavy mark. And then when you wanted to enter any temple, generally in South India, at least for the men, I don't know about women, about what they do, whether they get the same, I can't say. Maybe, I don't know. But men, to enter a temple in South India, generally you're not allowed to wear a shirt. You have to take your shirt or kurta off. And you can maybe have a chadar, you must be bare-chested. And the purpose of that was to make sure you were a Vaishnava. They would check your ID. They would check your ID before you entered the security complex. Do you have your photo ID hanging on your dog tag or hanging on your chain to get in the IBM computer office building? So to get in Vishnu's temple, you had to show your ID. But now they let you come in just with tilak on your forehead. But still you have to take your shirt off because this is the old tradition. Guru Vayur and Rangaji, all these, at least it was, I haven't been there since 1987, but it was a tradition in most of those temples, the men had to take their shirt off. And it was for that, it was for inspection. Are you one of us? Friend or foe? Friend or foe? No symbol? Then, jao. So this is the outward symbol. And then you might have marked here in this translation from Padma Puran, it says the Vaishnava should chant on tulsi beads or beads made of lotus seeds. So of course this is Padma Puran, and Vaishnavas in those days generally meant worshippers of Lakshmi Narayan or Sita and Ram. Radha Krishna worship was very esoteric and not very much prevalent or practiced in the ancient days of India when these Puranas are written. Very secret and very selected group of people would engage in such worship. Very esoteric. Of course, now it's quite famous by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It means the mercy of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna have come to make Radha and Krishna worship popular in this Kali Yuga. But it says lotus seed beads because in the sampradayas where they worship Lakshmi Narayan, the mantras, when you chant mantras, Sri Yukta or chant mantras in worship of Shakti, the Shakti of Vishnu, we use lotus seeds. Lotus seeds are used so that because they're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. But for us, we're worshipping Radha and Krishna, and our acharyas say that tulsi is sufficient. That we chant, because they would chant separate mantras on their lotus seed beads only for the puja of Lakshmi, Devi. Mantras for Lakshmi on those beads. Then when they would chant mantras for Vishnu or Maha Mantra, whatever, they would chant on tulsi beads. But we don't separately chant mantras for Radharani on separate beads. We can, but they would be on tulsi beads. So for worshippers of Radha and Krishna, we chant on tulsi beads. And this is important also because oftentimes this particular verse in Purana is important because oftentimes we see Vaishnavas, they may be Vaishnav Praya. Vaishnav Praya means almost Vaishnav, not initiated, not following. They may be Prakriti Bhaktas, materialistic Bhaktas, means newcomers or whatever. When they're chanting, they're not chanting on tulsi beads. And they say, oh, the temple, they told us we were supposed to chant on neem beads. This is not the Shastra. There's no words told in Shastra like this. If you're a Vaishnava, you're either a Vaishnava Praya, means you're aspiring to be a Vaishnava, or you're initiated. Are you a Vaishnava? Yes, I'm aspiring to be a Vaishnava. You're wearing the symbols of a Vaishnava, and you're studying following Vaishnava Dharma. Then you should chant on tulsi beads, as it says. This is what this verse is saying. Ye kanta, it says, ye kanta lagna tulasi nali akshamala. It says you're supposed to take the kanta mala of tulsi and chant on tulsi. I never seen anywhere neem. I've never seen any verse. Vaishnavas chant on neem or pine tree or this or that. So many very learned preachers will tell you, oh yes, uninitiated people, have you ever heard? You've heard this? It's widely propagated. I think the people that propagate this have very big forests of neem trees. I think their father has a big forest full of neem trees, and from those trees they make many beads, and so their sons join ISKCON and propagate. Yes, everyone chant neem beads. And the father's making huge profit. Basically, in Gaudiya Math, you don't chant on any beads. You join Gaudiya Math, at least traditionally, I can't say now, but during Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's time, the Gaudiya Math, you would join in the temple and you would chant, you would sing all the bhajans and go to all the kirtans and you would chant Hare Krishna and sing the Mahamantra while doing service. And that when you would get japa beads, that would be given by Guru. At the time of initiation, Guru would give the tulsi japa beads and then your name and everything. So they have he had a slightly different approach. And this is the tradition in the mantra tantra tradition, is that the guru gives the mala to the disciple. But now with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya spreading so widely, the mercy has taken a very broad and generous shape. Anyone and everyone is chanting on mala. And that's good. It's not bad. It's good. Keep track. Sankhya Purva Kanama Gana Natabi. But the main point is that we should, if we want to be Vaishnava, or we're aspiring to be Vaishnavas, tulsi is for us.